The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, it's time to move on. We moved to football. That was a great segment, I thought, on the golden at-bat. And it's to be taken seriously, whether you like it or not. Rob Manfred has put it out into the world, and the things that he puts out into the world tend to at least get a trial run. So it wouldn't surprise me in the least if we see that rule, which is that you can have one hitter on your team taken at-bat at any point in the game, your best hitter. I do think it would help small market teams because of that issue of quality over quantity. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, because, I mean, instead of having like Michael A. Taylor bat or whoever would be in the bottom third of the Pirates lineup right now, you could have Brian Reynolds or O'Neill Cruz.
Right. You don't have as many good hitters as other teams have.
Coach Mike texts in and says that Joe is right. Opponents of this idea are simply just anti-change in general, which is human nature.
They're Luddites. That's the word for it, Limits. Luddites. They hated the internet when it came. Well, maybe they were right, actually.
It merits a try. If it fails, get rid of it. If it succeeds, retain it.
They hated Twitter when that came out. They were definitely right about that. They hated every advance, in quotes, in technology and sports in the history of America. Let me ask you a question. Do you know how much of an uproar there was in 1973 when the DH rule came in? Oh, my God, we've been playing baseball for almost 100 years. Everybody who plays the game has to hit. What do you mean that a star hitter can take the place of the pitcher in only one league? I think that's every bit as revolutionary as this.
I think that's more revolutionary. I mean, that was the biggest change that the game has probably ever seen other than what? Lowering the mound?
I would say lowering the mound and ghost runners on second, yeah. Where
yeah, I agree with
all
that.
Of a sudden in extra innings, it's no longer baseball. It's something else that we've never seen before. It's installing people on second base. I mean, it's crazy. Nothing like it happens or has ever happened anywhere in any other sport.
3-on-3 overtime and shootout doesn't rival that?
Imagine if there were imaginary players on the ice, yeah. Maybe they could make it 5-on-5 with two ghosts for each team. All right, Limits, 412-928-9370 on that, because it does just lead to more and more talk. But I want to talk about the Steelers, and I want to talk about national media's shift on the Steelers. A couple weeks ago, I came in here and said, listen, Ravens beat the Chargers, Steelers then lost to the Browns. Anybody who thinks that the national people, or really anybody you talk to anywhere. I remember I was coming off a trip to Florida and one to Buffalo at the time, who thinks that the Steelers are more of a threat than the Ravens. Nobody thinks that, probably including the teams out there that would have to play them. Well, does one weekend change their minds? Does the Ravens' continued issues change their minds? I think for a lot of people it has. I sense a shifting, for better or worse, of the national narrative, and it leads to a question for people out there. And I pretty much opened the show with this yesterday with Bob. Do you consider the Steelers to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender out of the AFC? That one's sort of a tried and true question, but here's the real part of it. If you don't, why? What do you think holds them back? Why don't you consider them a real contender in the AFC? Would you be stunned if they came out of the AFC? I think a lot of people around the country, and we're going to hear some clips here, are starting to look at the Steelers and say, when they see Russ play like that, and I don't care who it was against, I don't. Watch the throws he made. Watch him still with the ability to move around and create a little extra time. When they see him play like that, even Stink himself, Mark Schlereth, the guy who shredded Russell like nobody else, is basically he's issuing more apologies than Crowley for the West Virginia football program at this point. He says, I'm sorry every other day. Let's hear from some people around the country, and we can weigh in then at 412-928-9370. Tell us who's on and where they're from.
First, here is Rich Eisen saying that the Steelers could go to the Super Bowl.
The one moment that caused me to go like sort of Rick Dalton GIF, there it is. There's the Russ from Seattle. There's the guy. Was a moment in the game, third quarter, second half, where Cincinnati's answering, right? And they're giving up points defensively that they aren't usually giving up defensively. And the Steelers did allow a season-high 38 points after allowing less than 17 points per game through the first 12 weeks of the season. That's fourth fewest in the NFL. Russ was being rushed out of pocket. And in the last couple of years, he would just take off. Fold up, take off. Flight instead of fight. And Russ stepped up, stepped through the hole, and looked down the field and fired one on the run perfectly to a wide-open Freiermuth for a touchdown. And I'm like, that's it. Right there. Rick Dalton GIF pointing at the screen. That's the Russ we haven't seen in forever. Playing free, you know, freelancing when he needs to, extending the play, but not giving up on the play. I'll say it. I know he wasn't hit at the time. That's the Ben Roethlisberger type stuff. But it's also the Russ stuff where you can't get him off the field and you can't keep him in the pocket. And if he gets out of the pocket, he's more dangerous. Danger Russ. Wilson showed up for the Steelers and is showing up for the Steelers. And I know they went through that stretch where they didn't have any touchdowns and they lost the snow game, but you got to give it up. 520 total yards of offense for Russ. Most points in a road game by the Steelers since 2000 in Cincinnati. Most total yards in a game for Pittsburgh since 2018. Back when Big Ben was doing it. You got to give it up. This team can not only win the division, they're in first place. This team can, if they play like this with TJ Watt and Nate Herbig are coming out with strip sacks. And defensively, I know they gave up all those points, but if they're being timely and doing their thing, I mean, they can go to the Super Bowl.
That's, I think, emblematic of how people are thinking about the Steelers suddenly. It's weird. I mean, all it took was that game against the Bengals. I mean, the season as a whole, yes, but what I'm telling you is that it wasn't that way just a couple of days earlier, you know, 10 or 11 games into the season, whatever it was at that point after the Cleveland game. It just felt very different than all of a sudden what they did to the Bengals and how Russ played, how he looked in that game, I think blew people's minds. I really do, Limits. Let's hear from somebody else.
Kay Adams is of a similar belief on her Up and Adams show.
And this was a statement from Russell Wilson. Okay, this is a, you know what, if you guys need me to put this whole thing on my back, I got you. He went shot for shot with Joe Burrow. Steelers defense, there were some issues there getting stops, really for the first time all year. But Russell, 414 yards, second most he's thrown for a game in his entire career. I know we want to say, oh, the Bengals defense is just the worst, historically bad. And it was the worst defensive performance of the year by the Bengals. Okay, and this personnel, literally the worst of the year by any team. But we cannot take it away from Russ. He had an answer for every question. And after every Bengals score yesterday, Russell and the Steelers came right back down the field and they put up points. 44, the most the Steelers have scored in a game since Big Ben back in 2018, okay? 520 yards, the most they put up in a win since 2017. 7.9 yards per play. Goodness, Coach Lou, that is pitiful by the Bengals. Oh my gosh. But the Steelers' offense, man, fifth most they've put up in a single game during the 18 years Tomlin has been the head coach. Russell was lights out. They can win the Super Bowl with this Russell Wilson, okay?
Wow.
They are beyond a Super Bowl contender. They are a sexy little pick right there. And if you were one of the people out there calling them an unthreat, calling them they can't make it into the playoff because of Russell Wilson, I'd like to know if yesterday changed your mind or if you're going to hang your hat on the Bengals defense just being that terrible. I don't agree.
Wow. Beyond a Super Bowl contender. Are they going to win two Super Bowls this year?
They're going to win the Super Bowl, and then they're going to play the college All-Stars and win that, too.
Remember that game? She was great there, though, and she's right the way she phrased it, Kay Adams. She's great. I never thought they would replace her adequately on Good Morning Football, and they did because Jamie Erdahl is great, too. I love that show. Every day at 8 o'clock, I walk Bailey at 7:30, take my daughter to school. I'm home by 8 a.m., sitting in front of the TV watching that game and preparing for the show. Do you watch that show?
I do. I like Schrager a lot.
Yeah. I like
him and Kyle Brandt are hilarious.
They're all good. Everybody's good on that show. So she's right. He went shot for shot with Burrow. Now you may say, well, so did other guys. So did Mahomes this year. So did Lamar. But everybody wins in the end. Right. Exactly. So did the Steelers. So did Russ. They don't win that game with Fields, and they lose by double digits with Kenny. That's what I think. They have a guy who can go shot for shot, crappy Bengals defense notwithstanding. Everybody else had to go, you know, to the late stages of a game, or mostly everybody did, to beat Burrow because they put up big point totals. So did the Steelers. Now let's hear from the man himself, and you can join in at 412-928-9370. Yeah, we've talked about whether the Steelers are legit contenders. I want to know more from you. If you don't think so, why not? Is it simply the quality of competition, the quality of opposing quarterback that will hold them back? Or is there a flaw in this team that you still detect that's going to keep them from getting where they want to go? I want to hear from you via text or phone line. Yeah, we don't have Bob today. It's a significant blow to the program. Part-time Pomp will be in tomorrow. But we forge on. Let's hear from Bill Belichick.
You know, it was surprising to me that Cincinnati was able to put up as many points as they did against them. And it was equally surprising that Pittsburgh scored as many as they
did.
But again, that's a credit to Pittsburgh and Coach Smith and Russell Wilson. I mean, look, you can't underestimate this guy, and they are a very resourceful team. They find ways to, you know, to win, to block kicks, to make goal line stops, to score. You just can't count them out. But I think Arthur Smith's done a great job of protecting the ball and still being able to find productive plays, you know, offensively, you know, on the perimeter, and then with Freiermuth inside, with Najee running the ball and really, they haven't turned the ball over much. I know they had the pick six against Cincinnati, but, you know, they've done a good job of not turning the ball over. And generally with that defense, if you don't turn the ball over, you know, you probably 20 points is probably enough to win most weeks. So I think if they can stay with that formula, they're going to be tough to beat. They've got a good field goal kicker to win close games. You know, there's a lot to like there.
Belichick's on board. Limits.
On the McAfee show, yeah.
The McAfee show, yes. He sounds like he's on board, not as a favorite necessarily, but certainly on board with the idea that we've been perpetuating around here really for weeks now, is that this is a different Steeler team in that it really does have a chance, like a legit chance to beat people. What do I think will keep them from getting there? I think it's the sheer odds against beating in a row, and the way it looks right now, it could be Lamar, Josh, and Pat. That's a tough trifecta right there, Wonder Twin. I mean, right now it looks like Steelers would face Baltimore in the first round. Okay? So you beat Lamar, which even with their success is no easy task, right? Even though they're the team that makes him struggle the most, their games against him have come down to a couple of them to 2-point conversions at the end, a throw near the goal line at the end a couple years ago in Baltimore, an overtime game that the Ravens eventually won back when Justin Tucker could kick. So I'm not just going to say, oh yeah, Ravens and Lamar coming in here, that's an easy one, but they will have survived Lamar. Then if Buffalo holds form, then they get Josh Allen in Buffalo in the divisional round. That might be the biggest task in all these playoffs in either league, to get Josh Allen in Buffalo. Okay, and if you survive him, you are probably looking at Patrick Mahomes in the AFC title game. So to answer my own question, what's the number one either flaw, reason, however you want to phrase it, that would keep the Steelers from getting to the Super Bowl? Is it just the sheer quality of competition? I would say yes, in the form of those quarterbacks, that the odds of beating those three guys in a row, should it come to that, maybe they get a break. But, you know, what would that be? Justin Herbert upsetting the Chiefs or something like that? That's another guy you would have to go through. But those three guys, Lamar, Josh, and the paddy wagon, it almost seems like an impossible task.
I feel like it is. Like, I would feel pretty bad about them going to Buffalo and having an opportunity to win there. That's like the one place where I feel that they would probably get beat, where every other matchup I'd feel okay about, that they have a good chance to win. But Buffalo right now, I think, is just on a heater where they feel like the team of destiny out of the AFC right now. And that's what concerns me most. Buffalo against the defensive line, against the Steelers' offensive line. I kind of have a lot of pause and hesitation there.
The one thing I would like there is I feel like that's a game, based on what I've seen from the Bills' defense this year, where the Steelers could control the ball and keep Josh Allen off the field. I really do, in that kind of setting. Plus, with a healthy TJ Watt, that's a little bit helpful compared to last year's game
a little bit
in Buffalo. 928-9370. In your mind, what would keep the Steelers from getting there? A flaw? A reason that you maybe don't agree with national media types who are now, that it seems like the Steelers are that sneaky pick to get there? What other flaw do you detect here, Limits? Do you detect a flaw? For me, if I had to pick one thing right now, it might be the secondary. And that again gets back to those quarterbacks and what they would do. Maybe some of the coverage from linebackers that could be exploited too. Things like that. I thought Queen, I think, is a good cover guy down the field. He's an unbelievable athlete. He got beat last week on one play I'm thinking of. It was just a dart by Joe Burrow. Nobody could have covered that.
Yeah, I think Queen has answered a lot of the questions. Peyton Wilson's been good. Landon Roberts didn't play that many snaps, but it was because of just how much Cincinnati throws the football. The secondary, with somebody texted in yesterday, Joey Penalty Jr., instead of Porter. You like that one, Horace?
I do, Horace.
That's a concern. Minka's still not making plays.
That is actually pretty good.
And Dante Jackson, I still don't trust
him. Is that the first
time
anybody's put that out there? Is that a social media thing?
Joey Penalty Jr., yeah.
That is unbelievable.
That's a good one.
I really like that. Let's give credit where credit is due. However, I also like Joey Porter. Boy, what a weird season. What a complicated task it is to grade him, to analyze him. I'd love to sit down with somebody, maybe Pony will, on the podcast with Pat Pete, and really just tell us, like, how is he playing? What are his flaws? Do you think he's having a good year? Because nobody really does. The best I got was from the guy at PFF who thought that his grade was basically an F right now from PFF, D to an F, that it was being skewed by he has a really good game and then a horrible game, and the horrible games are bringing his overall grade down. It reminds me of Mrs. Mintz's math class back in seventh grade at Amherst Junior High, Limits. Ironically, Mrs. Mintz had bad breath. Did you know that?
No.
She also
shouldn't
had
she, if she's Mintz, have good breath?
Yeah, that's why it's ironic. It was also, she also had bad grades for me, left and right. Although every once in a while, if I got something, if I got that concept, I would flourish on the test. But one A and two Fs don't make for a very good grade, does it?
No, doesn't even out well.
No. So I wonder about Joey Porter. I really do, because as I watch him, I'm thinking, you know, not many of these receivers are going crazy, even the Bengals guys. But, you know, at what cost? And is it largely dependent on how a given game is being called? If you ask me right now, I like Joey Porter as a player. I do, but I also, part of me also wonders, my God, is he getting beat so often that he feels the need to hold? Like, how many of these calls are legit? How many would be called in other games? Is he great, good, average, or bad? I have no idea.
I found it interesting on the broadcast. They said that Joey Porter's wingspan is longer than his actual height.
I heard that. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Like, we were perplexed in the Starkey household analyzing that.
I'm not going to act like I'm an aficionado with wingspan and stuff like that. But basically what they said is his arms are so long, he can get just naturally grabby with receivers. I mean, that was the knock on him coming out of college, too. Then he didn't have any interceptions.
Well, the weird thing is, you would think, given the body type and the style of play, that maybe, you know, a phone booth quick type guy like Zay Flowers would give him problems. I thought that was Porter's best game in a Steeler uniform. That's just another conundrum with him. I can't figure out anything with this guy. Do you think he's a good player?
I do. Yeah, I think he's a pretty good player, but the penalties, remember Tomlin said a couple weeks ago, if they continue to be a concern, then we'll address it. Well, here we are. Someone's going to ask today.
And I understand that Burrow had a good day. You know, they had 31 points, 31 on the Steelers' defense. Having said that, they had one touchdown in the second half, and it came with the Steelers, I think, in a prevent late. I do. Sort of letting them almost go down the field. So I didn't look at that as a horrible game from the defense at all, or from Porter. Maybe I've lost my mind, Limits. I don't think he had a horrible game.
Yeah, I think he had a horrible game.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't think he played well.
I think on another day, he gets away with half of those. What do you have, 12 penalties?
Like six.
I know, he had six.
George and Plum said that he should open up his own amusement park, Six Flags. You like that one, Horst?
I don't know which is better, Joey Penalty Jr. or Six Flags. I do like that. I'm with Tomlin, sort of, when he said we're not just going to come out here and the word he used was gooned by T. Higgins. I want a physical corner like that who battles. And I think on a different day, I mean, you're still getting three penalties probably, but it's not like those guys, it's not like Chase. Chase didn't have anything till the final drive, Limits. He just went on the phone. I want to hear from you. Tell me two things. If you don't think the Steelers are Super Bowl capable, why? I keep getting texts and things like, oh, you've gone overboard for weeks now. Pump the brakes. Whatever phrase you want to use from you've gone over. If you don't think they can get there, and I'm not predicting it, but I think they're capable of it, and I haven't felt that way in a long time. If you don't, why? If you don't, why? I don't think they're going to get there because of the sheer magnitude of the task of perhaps having to go through Lamar, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes in three consecutive weeks seems too tall for anybody. But they are capable. And secondly, Joey Porter Jr. Again, I'll ask, is he great, good, average, or bad? I have absolutely no idea at this point. None. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Mike Tomlin's news conference coming up top of the hour. We're looking forward to that with the Cleve Brownies. Talking about the Steelers and national media seeming to swing their opinion off watching Russ in that Bengals game to now, wait a second, the Steelers are absolutely a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Do you agree? And if not, what's the flaw? What's the reason that you would cite for why you don't think they have at least a legit chance to get there? I don't think they're going to get there. Because I think if it comes down to going through Lamar, Josh Allen, and Mahomes, that's asking a bit much. But I do think for the first time in a while that they really do have an honest shot at it, really. And the other topic is Joey Porter Jr. I guess we can eliminate the word great when I'm asking how he's been playing this season. Is it good, average, or bad? I get confused week to week and sometimes play to play as to what my opinion on this guy is. I don't know. PFF, love him or hate him, they have competent people looking at this stuff. They do. I mean, they have literal NFL offensive coordinators who are graduates of their place. Bruce Gradkowski used to grade the quarterbacks. I mean, it's not like they just pull somebody off the street, you know, to do this. They have Joey Porter with a failing grade at 51.7. That's 101st out of 113 corners. He can't have been that bad. There's no way he's been that bad. Would you agree with that, Limits?
Yeah, I don't think he's been that poor. But, I mean, we've had guys from PFF come on and say that they don't like how he plays.
Well, the one guy, remember, he made excuses for him and said, well, his overall grade's not everything. I said I thought that was the very definition of his overall grade. Everything added up.
It was like the subcategories.
So I'm extremely, I can't remember a Steeler player that I'm more sort of uncertain of my own opinion of than Joey Porter. It's weird. What do you think of him? Good, average, or bad?
I like him. I think he's a average player at the moment with a good chance to be really good. Like, I thought last year he was great at times. Now, the penalties are becoming a significant concern and are a significant concern for me because you cannot be a lockdown, shutdown corner as how grabby he is and relying on the refs. You just can't be relying on the refs to be as good as you are. If that's a big part of your game, I don't like it. He has to try to adjust that. But I think he's really good in coverage when he's not grabbing as much as he does.
Let's hit the phone lines, Limits. Let's hear from people.
Here's Zach in New Kent.
What's up?
Hey, guys. Big fan.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I actually don't mind the way that Joey Porter plays. I like it. I think today's NFL with the refs, it's kind of like, I dare you to call it. And so you play this way, and it has risks, but it has benefits and huge benefits. I mean, he should have been called for a PI in the end zone against Chase, and he almost picked it. So there's risks, but I don't mind it. And it's okay. It actually eliminates yards after catch.
I hear you. Yeah.
If you're getting beat, just pass interference from him. It's the same thing with offensive holding. Like, you will get away with a couple, and you'll score a touchdown on that play. But you get called, well, it's just the NFL. Oh, it's another holding call.
I think that's very well said. I hear that. I hear every bit of it, Limits. That was a great call. And it's kind of like what Tomlin said. Yeah, we gave up some. He gave up some. And Tomlin didn't say this, but I think he implied it, that Higgins is the one he singled out, did not completely just go off in this game and ruin us. And I compare it to basketball, to pick up on that man's analogy who just called in. It's like playing a real physical brand of defense, where you're roughing a guy up, you're fouling him a little bit. You're still getting away with a lot. You're making it difficult on the guy. You're making him go to the foul line. Yeah, you're giving up points. You're going to give up some because he's good. But it's a way to guard him physically. Now, can it go overboard, especially if the refs are of a mind to call a bunch of stuff on a given day? It can. We saw that the other day. But I hear what that man just said. In fact, I think he was borderline brilliant.
He's playing bad boys Pistons ball out there.
He is.
Trying to be as tough, as physical as possible.
Chase didn't bother me the other day.
No, he didn't do much at all. It was really Higgins.
It was the final drive, and Higgins didn't get 100 yards either. I mean, if he had the penalty yardage, he did. Joey Porter last year, 8 penalties for 75 yards. 3 holds, 3 pass interference, 2 others, whatever they were. So keep that in mind, Limits. Can you memorize that? 3 holds, 3 interferences. These are enforced penalties, of course. And 8, God bless me, total for 75 yards.
He had 2 on the same play, by the way.
I know. He had two penalties the other day that weren't enforced. One because, well, they picked one of two that he committed on the same play. And the other was because, why was the other one? Because they scored, I think, right? Okay, this year, Porter has 9 penalties, so already one more than last year for 111 yards, 2 holds, 6 pass interferences, and 1 other. How about that? So he's going to smash his own personal record, it looks like, this year.
Which is a problem. I mean, that's kind of the risk that you take, though, with Joey Porter.
Do you know who's second on the Steelers in penalties?
Broderick Jones.
Yes, with 7 for 70. Do you know who's tied for third, if you can name any of the people tied for third? With 4.
4 penalties. I'm going to say...
Wrong.
Dan Moore.
Wrong.
George Pickens.
Wrong.
George Pickens Wrong. Is not one?
No. George Pickens has 3 for 40 yards.
Dante Jackson.
Wrong.
Who?
Alex Highsmith with 4. Sayamalo with 4, and Connor Hayward comes off the top rope with 4.
Yeah, we were talking about, do you want to play more Connor Hayward? The answer right now, no. That's part of it.